Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you guys come out this morning. As of 5 o'clock last night, I wasn't sure what we were going to do today, but well, I thank you always for your cooperation and understanding. But then, as I listened to the weather, it said that most of it was supposed to subside in the evening there. So I made calls to Frank and Debbie and see what they had to say, and they said, "Well, I think we'll go with it." So that's what we did. You know it's okay to get old, but you can't bend over either. But anyhow, we're just privileged to have you here this morning, and we're so gracious we get the chance to worship in a warm place and be able to share God's gift of grace that He gives us each and every day. And so, does anybody have any announcements?
I need some nice, strong young men or men or whatever to help me load the truck with the soup for the Super Bowl. And I don't know, Alice was bringing treats.
She's got something back there in a bowl.
Okay, all right. Because she said she didn't think she could stay, but don't forget birthday.
Sometime. Yeah, thank you. Dylan reminded, somebody did, I think that Dylan reminded me too. But anyhow, any others? Thank you. Any other announcements? Well, like Deb said, it is birthday Sunday, and I don't have any, I do. Tracy was by this week and put a little Valentine gift in each and every one of your mailboxes. So please avail yourselves of those decoratives before you leave. Also, the ladies, if you go to the bathroom, when I come down this morning, it was cool in there, 60. I think something happened to the heater, so you just had to move fast, I guess.
We use the men's.
Use the men's? Yeah, that's a nice. You can. It's warm in that one. So. Anyhow, and along with the birthday Sundays, I can say, Debbie's mentioned about treat. There's a little treat back there for each and every one, not only one that has birthdays, but for others too. But anyhow, I want to recognize who has birthdays in February.
Well, two of them are here. Francis is today, and Tuesday is Teresa's.
I know there is some. And we'll just recognize them in our own minds and our spirits as we just sing that little song then. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Thank you very much. If anybody has any questions when the weather does get bad like it is, and we don't make contact with you, Debbie sends out a lot of emails to the individuals, and I try to make phone calls as well, but if you're not contacted, don't hesitate to call me.
With that being said, if anybody's not on my email list, give me your email and I'll add you to the list. But another thing I forgot, a thinking of you card back there, just a little card that we can all sign and we'll send to Pastor Tracy for the month of February, just letting know that we do miss him and we haven't forgotten him. He hasn't forgotten us by any means. So when you file out the back, if you would sign the card for him there on the back bench, that would be great.
Okay. All right. Well, then, with that being said, let us open our morning with a song here, please.
mercy is a song singing to my heart, telling me it's okay, come just as you are. I never heard a melody like the one that's singing over me, and I just want to sing along, cause mercy is a song, freedom is a cry, swaying back and forth, shining in the shadow of a stained glass Sunday morning, shouting hallelujah, yesterday is gone, our freedom is a cry, and mercy is a song.
Praise God for His mercy. In our call to worship this morning, we're looking at Psalms 1, 1 through 3. Please follow along with me if you would, please. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked and take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by the streams of water, which yield their fruits in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. Amen. Just pray with me, if you would, please. Father God, we have faith in you. You have chosen me and this congregation to be your children. And I know you want what is best for us. Oh, Father, just continue to be our guide. Father, our lives is full of color and love because of you. To you is given the glory. You answer our prayers. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How about joys and concerns?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Maxine. Keep me straight.
Okay.
Please do. Well, you enjoy another hymn. Okay, now we'll get into our joys and concerns. Keep me straight, Maxine, again. Danny.
She's in a regular room. She's off of life support and doing better. So, but she still needs a lot of prayers. She's still dealing with COVID pneumonia. My mom may have to cancel her chemo because her platelets dropped. So they need to monitor that and see what's going on with her. And then my brother, back before Christmas, was in a car accident, rear-ended pretty badly, and ever since then he's been having trouble with speech and concentration. So he definitely needs prayers.
Thank you. Michelle. You say for Jason? Oh, your son Jason.
No. Teresa.
Teresa?
Yeah. She's this week born in Kentucky. And prayers for Larry.
She has to go to Texas, you say?
Kentucky.
Oh.
Next.
I'm sorry. It's just not clear in here anymore. Tammy. Your mom? Okay. Frank?
Yeah, I'd like to take and remember some of the folks that's in our development that's been under the weather, having some medical issues. And also, I'd like to have special prayers for brother, for cousin Ralph, because of his situation, and natural Larry, but I want to mention him again. And you, brother. Because of the issues and problems you've been having, and I'd like to send out a special welcome to our guests this morning and pray for them and welcome them back anytime.
Amen.
And our children and family, they always need our prayers. Nice to see John back walking good, and Brad, we need to keep him in our prayers as well, too.
Yes, it is. I think you're doing wonderful with your hip replacement. Damn.
I just count it a joy and a blessing to serve a risen Savior that is there whenever we need him. I just want to ask a blessing over the doctors and the hospital staff that they're always there when we need them. And I know that their knowledge comes from the Lord, and they are his tool, but we just need to... remember all of them in our prayers for all that they do during all this craziness. Keep Frances in your prayers because she has kind of a cold going on, and when she gets a cold because of her respiratory, she struggles. So keep Frances in your prayers. And I want to thank all those that have phone calls, food, visits. It's a blessing because it is uplifting. So I just want to ask a special blessing and bless everyone that is there for us.
Amen.
And God, would you mind when you end it, when you do your prayer, would you bless the food for the food bank?
If I don't, he will.
Okay.
I'm making note of all these, but if I goof up, you may continue to pray in a moment. Okay, thank you. Any others, please? We're going to have Dylan come up here. Does anybody feel like they may need a lift in their spirit and an anointment at this time? We're going to share in the anointment. Ralph, if you'd like to have it, you don't have to come up. We'll come back there.
Yeah. So, Brother Bob, he's the one who reached out to me in coming here. And I saw his back pain last time I was here, and he expressed more concern this morning, and I spoke with him this morning, and he was open to a personal prayer and laying on of hands.
Amen.
So, Brother Ralph, if you are open to that, we will come back to you. Regardless, we'll lift you up. But I'm going to ask from where you're at, If you could raise a hand forward as we pray over our brother and lift him up.
Want to come up here?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning lifting up this brother, your faithful servant, who shares with the community, who reaches out to the community, to make sure your love is felt and shared. I have felt that, Father, and I thank you for the work that you've done in his life, all that you do, you continue to do. Grateful for that. Well, we know our brother is in pain, Lord. Why he has this pain, you know. And if it be in your will, we call for miraculous healing. We know you are capable. We know you can do it. We know, Lord. We know. But Lord, we are humble enough to know that sometimes miraculous healing is not there, and if miraculous healing is not in your will, we ask for you to bring Bob comfort, bring him strength. As he moves forward with this reminder that he is here on earth to look forward to eternity with you, to look forward to that where he is, will be relieved of this pain. Bring him assurance, strength of community, reminders of your unfailing love, Lord. And as he goes forth in remembering this, Lord, we anoint. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, faithful servants. May we continue to strengthen and uplift our brother. Heavenly Father, we come before you, lifting up another dear brother. Lift up Ralph to you. He is here this morning, here to worship, here to praise, here to uplift the song of mercy, Lord. The mercy that you've shown him, getting him here, Lord. The healing you brought. Not just with this, but every experience he has had in life. All the times he can think back and see, the Lord is faithful. And we know you are faithful. Once again, we ask, if it be in your will, for miraculous healing and mobility, full restoration, to continue to move him forward to serve. You're humble enough to say that if not in the will, the strength to continue moving forward. It's a reminder, the flesh, that we are in. But it does not stop us. May it not stop the brother, Lord. May he continue to worship, to serve, to love, as a disciple, your son Jesus. Pray for his strength. His endurance. Move forward.
I want to thank my dear brother here this morning for that service and just the power that it has through Jesus' hand. But like Deb said, you need the hospitals, you need you need the nurses, you need the front line. And Jesus is always on the front line, and he has very good helpers like Brother Dylan here. And we praise him for all his service. So we just lift you up this morning and thank you for that encouragement and that touch of healing. At this time, we will have our, if there's any other request, if not, we'll come to prayer. Any way you feel comfortable. Oh, Father God, as we come to you this day, we understand how you have placed so many in various locations and destinations that guide us and lead us and maybe share their experience and their wisdom. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your preservation that you have given us these lives. You have maintained the flock that has been here to serve you and your church. Oh, Father, we just praise you for all the wonderful colors, and that is each and every individual. And, Father, just think, if you can create a world of colors and beauty, what else can you do in our lives? Oh, Father, we just place our trust in you, for you have given us a wonderful world to live in, and you've given us the health to maintain the things that we have built and established and cared for and loved. Oh, Father, we just know that our problems are nothing compared to what you have done for us or what you will continue to do for us. So, Father, as we lift you up this day, and if you have heard the many concerns that was lifted, I won't go into detail, Father, because you already know you have them registered. But I will mention Larry and Michelle, Ralph and Deb, Danny's neighbor, mom and brother, Teresa and her travels, Tammy and her mom, and the guests that we have with us this morning. Wonderful time. Our country, our leaders, our president, and just glad the impeachment's over. Risen Savior, Father, you are the risen Savior of all. You have given us the hands for the hospital and the staff and the helping hands that created much love through the transfer. Father, we want to lift up Francis Boston too. And then, Father, as we come down to myself, I thank you for the reserves that you've given me. Oh, Father, continue to bless the food bank. Oh, Father, and lift it up that that food might be the gift of energy and desire. And a little bit of recognition that maybe that can of beans might be a lift in the Holy Spirit saying somebody cares. Oh, Father, we just give you the glory this day again for what you have established and allow us to gain. Father, always lead us and never let us go unfinished in whatever we do. Just help us to create and establish the word, the way, and the truth. Oh, Father, as we look to you this day, we just thank you so much as we lift you up and pray it all in the Lord's Prayer as we go together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Father, I forgot to bless Brother Dylan and his ministry this morning, for I know he spent much time in preparation. And last time he was here was very encouraging, and we look forward to what the Lord has put on your lips. Thank you, Brother Dylan. And I... At this time then, we'll have another video. Am I right, Maxine? Okay.
We are
Again, Maxine, your selections are good, very good. Thank you. In our scripture reading this morning, it comes from Matthew 6, 22-23. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" At this time, again, let us look for the light, and let us be privileged to have Brother Dillon with us, and we just thank him again for his preparations in giving us this service. I forgot to ask you.
Thank you, Brother Bob. When people see you,
excuse me, I'm sorry,
you're fine. When people see you and they interact with you, will they believe that your Christian beliefs are authentic? Take a moment and think about interactions you've had with people. Those times when you couldn't explicitly share your favorite hymn, your favorite Bible verse, or even where you go to the church at. Those people you just meet briefly at the grocery store, maybe at the park when you take your kids or your grandkids. People you see at work, customers, will they know that there is something different about you? If not, if they didn't sense that authenticity, if they didn't sense those Christian values in that brief interaction, what was their evidence? So, a writer named Taya wrote this poem called Judging Eyes. "Judging eyes look upon me. They know nothing of my story, yet they judge what they see. Judging eyes stare at me, criticizing my looks, my choices, my passion, my right to being free. Judging eyes are a curse to me. They think they know me. I disagree." You see, the two verses that were read for the message this morning, the sermon, they're often preached in regard to what we watch or what we look at with our eyes, what we're bringing into our bodies. They're preached as if the eyes are a lamp for the body. But a commentary I went to, the New Interpreter's Bible commentary, really clarified that in this passage, it says the eye is the lamp of the body. Not for the body, of the body. See, in ancient times, such as the time Jesus preached this Sermon on the Mount, the eye was believed to project what is inside, so that what is outside would see what was in, see the light, see the darkness. That was what they thought of eyes. And it's even evident when Jesus' disciples meet the Samaritan woman at the well. This account, if you want to follow along, it's in John chapter 4. Now, the whole story is a sermon for another day. But I'm going to summarize, and we're going to look at verse 27. You see, Jesus was traveling through town, had to go through Samaria, comes to a well, disciples are not with him. Now the issue here is a little bit of background for Samaritans in this area. Is back in around 930 BC, you'll see this in 1 Kings chapter 12, the nation of Israel split. You had Israel in the north, Judah in the south. Well, because of the division between these two new nations, people of Israel quit going to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices. That caused dissension number one. And then after it was conquered, his nation of Israel was conquered before Judah, they began to intermarry with the Assyrians. That was a big no-no. You stay with your tribe. You stay with Israel. You stay there. They become Jewish, and then you marry them, but you don't marry an Assyrian. Years continue, and they believed in the same God. They believed in God just as the Jewish people did from Judah. But in the Pentateuch, those first five books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those five books, theirs began to change. They kind of developed their own Pentateuch. They still followed God, but they started varying in their religious beliefs. So between that, with intermarriage with the Assyrians, a different nation, they were considered half-breeds. That's what a lot of commentators say. The Jews called them half-breeds. Unclean. Trouble. So Jesus is talking to a Samaritan. He's this big-time rabbi, excellent teacher, has had so many people following him, and here he is talking to a Samaritan. It's bold of him. But in a sermon for another day, you'll see how her life was changed. But what happens, I'm going to take off my jacket if you don't mind getting a little hot. But what happens, in verse 27, we read, just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? You see, they knew she was a Samaritan woman. Why is Jesus speaking to her? See, Eugene Peterson wrote this Bible interpretation called The Message. And he really helps understand this passage. His Eugene Peterson wrote in his, verse 27, just then Jesus' disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of a woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. Their faces showed it. It was then, at that moment, that we read that she left. She didn't even take the water that she had come to get. She left the bucket and she went back home. She got the revelation from Jesus. She got the water that she really needed, not just that she wanted, but that she needed. But couldn't stick around to see what these guys might do. Leave on a good note is what she thought. Okay, I got this. I don't like the way they're looking at me. Time for me to get out of here. I'll come back for water later. I gotta leave. Let me share this good news before I can't share it. What thoughts were going through her mind? You see, the eyes. The eyes, the way we look at someone, say so much about what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And so often our eyes don't really share our Christian beliefs and values. So often people see that we're not authentic. My time serving in youth and recovery ministries have really made that evident to me. Because I've seen so many times where a child, a teenager, or a recovering addict will see right through someone's fakeness. They'll see right through the lies. They'll see right through fake compassion. And ask, why are you here? You said all this stuff, but you don't mean it. Why are you here? Why are you really doing this? Just for your own personal benefit? Because I can tell it's not real. I mean, think about a photograph. You can see in a family picture who's not happy about being there. You see that one look, that one facial expression, and they didn't say a word to you. I could find a dozen random family photos on the internet right now of people I've never met that you've never met, and each one of you could tell me which person in that photo doesn't want to be there. Just by the way they look. The eyes that show, the facial expressions, that lamp that's projecting what is inside the body, what you don't want to say but is spoken and so many more words than we can say. So what should be evident in our actions and our eyes? Think about Jesus' sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, where this passage comes through in Matthew chapter 6. The sermon that he's been preaching on Christian beliefs and practices. If you're going to follow me, guess what? I'm going to remind you about these things. And you know, some of us have had sermons on this Sermon on the Mount before. But you know, for the sake of where we're going with this, I'm going to read the Sermon on the Mount to you, so you get the full context leading up to the lamp of the body. Starting Matthew 5, verse 3, with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Then Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What to look forward to and what to be warned of. So what to do? You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you're offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you'll be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her heart, with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you the sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown in the hell. And if your right hand causes you the sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go in the hell. How to look, how we interact with those around us. Verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out your vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. 38, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Are those teachings of Jesus expressed in your face, in your eyes, how you look at people around you when you interact? He goes on to say in verse 6, whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corner so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases that the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. And then Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer that we said earlier. Are the words of those prayers coming out in your eyes? Do you really feel that? Would someone see that on your face when you're praying that prayer? Verse 19. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do people know where your treasure is stored by looking at your face, in your eyes? Do they see that? Do they know that? Because guess what? After that is verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Your eyes are healthy. That means your body is full of light and it's projecting out. Are people seeing that? Will people know that you have heard this Sermon on the Mount? Will people know that you know about Christ? Will that be projected out of you? Those are the things that people need to see. But there is one problem. Even when we follow Christ, our eyes of judgment may be exposed, just as we read with the disciples. They were following Jesus, and a Samaritan woman saw it, saw the looks on their faces. You see, judgment is when we form an opinion about something. These opinions are based upon our past experiences and sometimes the experiences of others when we are faced with something new. Is judgment sin or human instinct? We often go to Matthew 7, verse 1, later on in the Sermon on the Mount, and say it's sin. We read the do not judge. But we forget, one, the next part of that, do not judge so that you may not be judged. And we also take it at face value and don't miss the word for judge here in the Greek really meant do not judge negatively. Do not judge poorly. Do not look down on someone when you form these opinions about them. It leads to condemnation, which could be why when Luke writes his account, he reads, judge not lest you be judged, condemn not lest you be condemned, forgive and you will be forgiven. He goes on to clarify about the condemnation part. You see, this judgment, it doesn't have to be negative. Judgment is what we're going to do. You see, we're always going to make a good or bad opinion about something based on our life experiences because of what we've been taught, what we've experienced, what we've been around, from childhood on up to wherever you are now. And we're going to encounter people with a different ethnicity, financial status, clothing selection, or choice of piercings and tattoos. We will encounter souls struggling with addictions and homelessness. We will encounter people with other religious beliefs. We will encounter people like the Samaritan woman who believe in God but have different understandings and interpretations of Scripture, who read things differently. We're going to encounter all those people, but we don't know where they've been. We don't know what they've gone through. We don't know how they've been brought up. So we need to make the choice that when we judge, we choose not to judge negatively. Because it's going to happen. You're going to make a judgment call, but you need to choose not to condemn. And guess what happens when you choose not to condemn? When you choose just to live, you encounter and interact with the person. And if you were going to have a negative judgment call, how likely is it that you're going to find out your judgment was wrong? And you can renew your thoughts, renew your thinking through the lens of the gospel. Renew how you look at someone. Renew how you look at a certain type of person. Renew how you look at someone with a different background than you. Renew how you look at someone who is struggling in a different way than you are. We need to make the choice of peace and love rather than condemnation and hate. Forgiveness needs to be offered rather than isolation. We can't condemn. We have to love. We need to make sure that our actions exemplify what we have read in Scripture. And even if our eyes make people think that we're not authentic, may they know by our actions. And may our actions change the way we think and renew that so their eyes do display this love, grace, and mercy. Because what is on the inside? On the inside of every human is a soul that has been offered the same gift of salvation as you. Are you ready to look below the surface and offer the love of Christ? Are you ready to look below the surface and offer love of Christ? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for the love, grace, and mercy you've shown us, the teachings you've given us through your living word, the teachings of Christ that we have down on paper to read and to look into and to remind us of how to live, how to love. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that continues to direct and guide us when we do forget the way. That convicts us and moves us in the right direction. Lord, may we encounter that Spirit. May that Spirit flow through us to renew us so that even if we've had an upbringing, a history, a testimony where we've had bad experiences with certain people, where we think poorly about certain people, may we be renewed in a way that expresses love to all, that expresses grace to all, that expresses mercy to all. As we live lives in a way that leads people to the cross, that people see us and they realize who we are, Lord, and they want to follow us. That if they are stumbling in sin, Lord, that they see us as an example that's willing to take them in love rather than condemn. We thank you, Lord, for the example. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, What a Faithful God. Amen. What a faithful God have we. Thank you for that. May we go from here in peace, choosing not to condemn, choosing to offer forgiveness and love rather than hate. May we go from here, showing with our actions and our faces that we are truly disciples of the one resurrected Savior. Amen.
Praise God from whom my blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Thank you.